Morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for allowing us to come this morning to share our long journey story to South Africa with you this morning. The only other announcements that I have for you is we remember Marion Benuller tomorrow as he goes in for surgery for a knee replacement. We ask for the surgeon's guides, their hands to help Marion with his replacement of his knee. With that, I have no other announcements. Does the congregation have any other thing that I missed? If not, let us stand and for our call to worship. Responsive reading. Let us worship God, our light and our salvation. We desire to live in God's house and to seek God in his holy temple. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth.
Teach us your ways and make straight our paths in this hour of worship and always.
Our opening hymn is hymn 101, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Thank you.
so I don't forget. Let's turn to one another and greet one another this morning. Our prayers of confession, let us read those together as printed in the bulletin. Most holy and merciful Father, we acknowledge and confess before you our sinful nature, prone to evil and slow to do good, and all our shortcomings and offenses. We alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, forgetting our love. Lord, have mercy on us, who are ashamed and sorry for all wherein we have displeased you. Teach us to hate our errors. Cleanse us from our secret faults and forgive our sins for the sake of your dear Son. And O most holy, loving God, help us to live in your light and walk in your ways, in according to the commands of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now hear the words of God's assurance. With everlasting life, I have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. The children may leave for children's church. Let's hear the words this morning from Luke 24, verses 13 through 35, a story on the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We pronounce it Emmaus. In South Africa, they pronounce it Emos. Completely different, but different terminology and different thinking, different language again, totally. But hear God's word. Now that same day, two men were going from the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking about each other, about everything that had happened. As they were talking and discussing these things, each had other. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you two discussing together as you walk along?" They'd stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, said to him, "Are you the only one visitor in Jerusalem, and you do not know the things that have happened these last days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came to us and told us that they had seen a vision of an angel who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'You foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have suffered those things and entered into his glory. The beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he explained it to them and said to all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going on further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road, opening the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned once to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen, and he has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus had recognized them when he broke the bread. The reading of God's divine word. This time, Andy and Bonnie are going to come forward. We're going to give a talk on what we've seen. The road to Emmaus, the reason we chose that as a group, Jesus walks with us day and night. He's with us at all times. And the road to Emmaus, as we walked with our partners in our partnership that started 12 years ago, very truly and thankful for our presence there. Evidently got technical difficulties here this morning too. So bear with us. But as our trip going there was long, it was a 10-hour flight from Washington, D.C. to Dakar, where we refueled, and then another 8 hours to Johannesburg, where we switched planes there, and then it was another an hour to Durban. And we spent the night there in Durban, and the next morning it was a 3-hour drive to the mission where we stayed, KwaZulu-Natal. Probably doesn't sound right. In South Africa, when they speak it, it sounds good, but you get a Midwest accent with it, it doesn't sound the best. Hopefully we get pictures here this morning. But as we stayed there, our host, Pastor Lee and Pastor and Nosipo, they were the ones that took us from parish to parish, and we'll have pictures of the different congregations that we visited. It was more or less we did do some field work in the gardening project there, but most of us was to show the congregations there that we are supporting them. We are there walking with them. As Christ walks with us, we are walking with them. Get her? Junior to talk.
Brought it back up for a reason.
This is the group that we went with, and what? Okay, there we go. This is the group that we went with. They're from Huron Lake and Windham and over in that area. And some of them, this was their third and fourth trip over there. So they have been quite involved in this project.
Yeah, some of them are, well, most of them are older than me. There are two boys that are the sons of Pastor Sarah over in Windham. She would be Dan Masoner's pastor over there, actually. And then there's one that's sort of from rural Wilmot, Fulda area. I was a little late this morning because I was making sure I had all my backups in order, and sure enough, I needed them. So it was more than a day of travel. It was about 10,000 miles, actually. And I was on the return trip. It was 19 hours on the same plane. I think on the way there it was 17 or 18. And that is too long to sit in one seat. But we made it. No major hiccups.
The bottom picture, we're all standing. We stayed in Durban overnight the first night in a motel. And that's the Indian Ocean behind us. We woke up to a beautiful sunrise that morning.
We didn't spend a whole lot of time there because we had to go, but it was also very, very cold water, mm-hmm. being winter there. So this sort of shows you where we went. Durban is in the far lower right corner, and then we drove up to Ladysmith is sort of in the middle of the picture there, and that is real close to where we stayed. So we went up quite a ways in elevation, and we were in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. We were very well fed the entire time we were there. These are our hosts that came to meet us at the airport. And on the far right is a young pastor that I think was ordained this spring.
Mm-hmm. And he serves... He's got one parish, he's got 11 congregations he serves. He does three services on a Sunday morning, and he has pulpit supply for the rest of them, so he doesn't get to all his parishes every Sunday. So they are very stretched out there. There's 12 parishes in the Odini circuit with 60 congregations. So the pastors there and the bishop for the Udini circuit is looking for very energetic young pastors to come. And they have to be young for the miles that they put on and the traveling they do from one parish to the next.
So the church there, they're very, very involved in many aspects of life. It's the churches and the government that support the school for physically disabled children. And that's the name of it, but it was all sorts of disabilities there. And later on, we got to go and visit, so we'll touch on that later. But that's an aerial image from Google Maps, I believe, kind of showing the terrain there. This presentation was made by four of us, one of us over in Heron Lake, I think five of us, actually. Heron Lake, Wilmont, so you'll notice that the formats change a little bit, and sometimes I kind of skip through slides because they're something that someone else wrote and would expand on. So we stayed at the Kwazimukukle Diaconal Center, which at one point had been a mission station before the end of apartheid, and then changes in the government and the church kind of led to the missionaries being asked to leave, and then the church kind of stepped in, and it's sort of a place for locals to work and to host guests. And
that is the on the bottom there is where we stayed, and this whole I called it a compound. There was all woven wire fence all the way around it, and there was barbed wire fence through the woven wire, and there was razor fencing on the top of it going around it. And that's to keep monkeys out and for vandalism and stuff. So we never ever felt threatened there, but you felt pretty secure with all that.
One time the gate was left open a little bit too long and they had to shoo all the cattle back out. And if there's a hole in the fence, the goats will get in and out. There's some of the local women. They make baskets to sell. They have all different types for various purposes. They also make all of the pastoral garments there, both for local pastors and they take orders, so.
The bottom picture in the round, that is, they make communion wafers. It's like a waffle iron, and they make them, and they send them to other other people buy them. And that's one of their profits.
And with, I think unemployment in that area was 60%, so any work that the church can provide to people is a huge help. Well, on our way out there to the center, we got to stop at the site where Nelson Mandela was captured before he spent 27 years in prison, and that is hugely important to the people of that country. And there was a museum being constructed, but there was this cool sculpture there that you had to be in the right spot to kind of see Nelson's face, like on that right-hand picture. I think Bonnie took some good pictures and didn't realize that it was his face until we got back
totally
home.
Missed the picture of his face. I thought, why do we have all these rods sticking up in the air? It don't make sense. But after I saw it on the picture, then it did.
So this picture, or this slide, kind of shows the difference between the wealthy and the poor. The top left is the resorts that you could stay at on along the Indian Ocean. You can see that there is a modern John Deere combine just driving down the street in one of the small farming communities we went through. But then you can see the, well, actually that's a pretty nice house in the bottom slide there. New construction, but a lot of it is cement block, and they get some help from the government to build houses. But then you get these townships, they call them. When the blacks were kicked out of the towns they lived in, when apartheid came around, they just had to settle nearby, and a lot of them still live there. The buildings are tin and cement block houses and traditional huts. But they keep grading the road, so sometimes it's a little better street than what I live on.
You talk about that, Bob.
Me? We went to the youth rally, more or less just to show us off. But anyhow, it's not actually a youth rally, it's a young rally. 35 years of age and younger gathered here. And we were there worshiping with them and partaking in their what they were doing. But then right before noon, everybody was carrying signs. They were protesting. So we got to partake in a protest. Never ever been in a protest before, but we walked about a half mile. And at the end of there, the pastors that were walking with us, each one took time to pray for what they were protesting. A lot of it is they're protesting human trafficking. And they're protesting there is trouble in the main office, the head, like the head of your classes, it was the head of their diocese. Money was missing. And the money was missing from the retirement fund. The bishop had planned to retire this coming year, but he can't now. His retirement fund is totally gone. And the pastors that were looking to retire, their fund is gone. So there's unrest, same as government churches. They were missing 40 million rand, and that constitutes back to American dollars, $3.5 million was missing. It was still in a big uproar when we left there yet, and I haven't heard what they've got that to get it taken care of, to find out where the money went, who's got it, or whatever. But I'm sure it'll come out sometime on what happened to it. But then after we walked, it came back, and then it was time for dinner, our lunch, where we had different types of food there. We had creamed pumpkin, like we have squash. It was good. And then we had roast beef and gravy over rice. And it was good. It was a good meal. But sitting there, these two men had a platter about that by that, and they had bones on it. Well, I figured there's bones from trimming the meat off for the roast. But they came to where me and Bonnie and Andy were sitting. He says, clear the table. So he moved everything, and they set this platter down in front of us. Here was the beef head. The beef head goes for distinguished guests or men of the tribe. So as in the center picture there, that's the jaw of the beef. That, and the meat was very good. It was very tender. It tasted just like roast beef. But then as they were breaking it open, and the ears and the horns were still on it, they broke the head open, and here they had the beef brain. So they were sharing it with all of us, eating the beef brain.
We tried real hard to have Andy to test it, but he couldn't do it.
No, they didn't try that hard. No. You see, oh, it's Isaac and Yannick, the pastor's kids on the far right. Well, I think it was Yannick, the one in the back, who was trying to get his mom to try it. And well, he asked me, and I kind of hesitated, and then he immediately moved on to someone else, just trying to gross him out. But I'm guessing the texture, well, I'm told the texture was interesting, but it wasn't bad tasting.
Yeah, everybody says, what's it taste like? It tastes like brain. You know, I don't know if you can't compare it to chicken. It's a bland, very flat, bland tasting. I guess you'd call it an organ, if you want to. Mm-hmm. Like tongue or liver, you know, they got their own taste anyhow. Or this is just a white, bland taste to it.
When we got done with the meal, then some of the ladies were talking to the ladies from there. And the one lady had my necklace on her head and around her neck. And I said, oh, I like your necklace and your headband. Well, if you tell them that, they have to give it to you. So I felt really bad after I said it. But so that's how I ended up with my necklace.
Yeah, this is one of the success stories from earlier trips. It's the Hoffenthal project you're seeing there. And that was originally began years ago, I think, to kind of help with some of the nutrition to help with AIDS medication. Because AIDS was pretty rampant over there, and this province still has the highest rate in South Africa. It's making a comeback. And, you know, they need all the help they can get to, you know, try to survive. A lot of these people, it's not really their fault that they contracted this disease. And
well, a lot of it, we had host families, we'll see, where we stayed at. And Tangi, the lady that me and Bonnie stayed at, I asked her about the AIDS epidemic. And she said from 30 and older, it's on the decline. From 30 and younger, it's on the rise. And I says, well, what's causing it to rise? Well, the people are so poor, four guys or girls, whatever combination of both, get together, they pool their money to buy drugs. And one of the individuals takes the drugs, and he's on his high. They draw blood out of his arm and inject it in the other three people using the same needle. They do the best they can, but that's spreading AIDS so much faster there and readily, because given that there's a lot of men that work in the mines, we didn't see a whole lot of men there. Most of it was women and children. But there's two generations of men that are just about totally gone from the AIDS. And try to educate him in Tutuko, the pastor we had earlier. He's gone and talked to schools about the AIDS spreading, how it spread, and trying to slow the spread down. But when we went to the cemetery where we stayed, I counted 60 new graves. And that had been in the last 3 years, and a majority of them were all AIDS victims. We hear it here in the United States, but we have nothing compared to what they have there for the epidemic of AIDS and HIV.
In a first world country such as the U.S., AIDS is no longer really a death sentence. You can get medication that can prolong your life almost to the the length it would be if you had not had that disease, but over in more developing countries such as South Africa, it's much worse. So at the Hoffenthal project, what you just saw there, in the past they've, on one of these trips, they dug in a new irrigation line, installed a new irrigation pump. They're in a 3-year drought there, but they can still get some water from a stream from up in the mountains. And we managed to plant potatoes in some of the hardest dirt that I've ever worked with, by hand, and no tractors available, so.
Not there, no. Big hose, big heavy hose, you bust the side loose, and then somebody comes along and makes a trench, and then you sprinkle fertilizer in, they put dirt on it, and then they put a potato every footstep apart, and then they cover that with dirt. And then after we were done planting about a half an acre to an acre of potatoes, they came with a garden hose and wetted it all down to help it grow. But that's the bright spot Hoffenthal is with the garden project there. This is the third time now that they've expanded it. And they raise mostly cabbage, carrots, Swiss chard, pumpkins, onions, for the people in the community, people that come to church. So they've got some type of food for them to eat.
The little African children there, they just latch on to grandmotherly figures, and they figured out that Bonnie Ossefort and Bonnie Fredrickson were grandmothers. So quite often, like in that lower right picture, you'd see little black girls or boys hanging out with them. And
she liked my camera. She could take a picture and then see the picture in the back of it. So she was taking all kinds of pictures and looking at them. So that's kind of why she liked me.
The local church there related to that project, I think it...
Well, it got flooded away. They had a downpour. And the soil there, it gets wet, it almost turns like the sand. And the footings for the other congregation was not very deep, and they had a heavy downpour rain, and the rain came along the side of the church, took the foundation out, and it collapsed. So this is the start of a new church at Hoffenthal. It goes by, it's all brick, and then they put stucco over the top of it. It's a slow process, but they were hoping within the next 3 years, when another delegation goes back, that they will be able to worship in this church.
Oh, on one of our days when we had a little extra time, we went to the nature reserve to see some of the African animals that we heard so much about. Beautiful scenery there. And the far left picture up in the top, you can see beautiful irrigated fields, nice and green. And the upper right picture is actually right next to that, just wildlands, just untamed, too rough to work. Yeah, we had giraffes, zebras, warthogs on the road. And I didn't get a picture, but they did have game wardens there walking around with French assault rifles to keep the poachers at bay. We didn't see any of the rhinos, but the ones that were there were all dehorned because poaching is an issue, so they figured they just safely remove the horns rather than have the animals killed for it later.
They have a women's day. It's a women's holiday. And we met at this church. We were there by 9 o'clock that morning, and some of the guys kind of dodged out of it a couple hours later, but us women stayed until 4, and they weren't done with the service yet. But it was real, it was really interesting. It was just for ladies, and you had communion and stuff with them, and then after that is when they start singing and dancing, and that gets real interesting.
3-hour sermons are tough if it's all in English, but it was also in Zulu, so you could only stay for so long, I thought. Plus, we got a flat tire when we drove in there, so we had to take care of that.
Because the average worship service there is 3 hours. At a minimum, the sermon is half hour to 45 minutes. So if you've got a long-winded minister here, don't feel bad. Theirs is a lot longer there. How they can talk that long is beyond me, but Zulu language is longer than us speaking English. No, you got the slide? No. When we stayed with our host family, I did the worship service of the sermon in one of the congregations. And I was told that the people speak good enough English, there wouldn't be an interpreter. But when I went to give the message, a young gentleman was standing beside me and he says, "I will interpret for you." He says, "Just say a couple sentences at a time." So I did that. And he started talking, or he started in the Zulu language, and it went on and on and on. So my 15 to 20 minute sermon did turn into a half hour, 45 minutes, because their language translating is so much longer than what ours is.
When we went to that church that morning where he preached, then she had 3 nieces come along with us. So I sat with them in the back, and they came and got me, and I had to go and sit on the left side. All the women sit on the left side of the church, and the teenage, middle-aged kids sit on the right side to the back, and the young kids sit up front in the back, or in the front. And there were very few men there, because they're either gone working or they feel they don't have to go to church. There was probably only 5 or 6 men there.
We got to partake in communion many times while we were in South Africa. And Pastor Sarah from Wyndham gave communion there as well. Also, on one of our days when we had a little extra time, Our hosts brought us to, I think it was like a elementary school cultural competition. It was sort of elementary to junior high, I guess. And so, yeah, we got to see traditional dances and traditional wear, and we got VIP passes when we sat in the front row. They made sure that we knew that we were very important persons to them, I guess. But there would be a video there, but I think that requires internet, so we'll skip through that. So Kwazimukukle School, we did get to go back and visit one day, and we had some items to drop off, and also some toys and treats for the children.
Bob up there, he was presenting them with kits. Sioux Falls Christian School, there's women from Sioux Falls that make kits, and they're called Days for Girls. I don't know if any of you have heard of them. They're for teenage girls for the month, and that is one of the highest expenses in this school. And so these kits can consist of a washcloth and soap and a couple of panties and some pads that are rewashable. And you can rewash them for up to 3 years. They're supposed to last for 3 years. And Ms. Apo, the administrator there, she was so excited because that is one of the major expenses every month in the school. And so we brought 75 kits over there, and I don't think most of the girls realized what they were, but they were just thrilled to get something. They just love getting something. So, they were really excited about that.
Bonnie knew that she was going to get emotional in front of all the smiling children, so she decided to tap out and let Bob present that there.
And if you look in the back, Dale, he's covering his face. He's laughing. I'm not going to go there. We're going to leave that one lay. But it's very difficult to explain what was in these packets. So
Bob did a good job, though. So also on a couple of the days, they drove us around, they showed us off showing how their American partners were involved. We weren't just sending them money to support them. We were involved. So you'll see a number of slides that some other people added. There's going to be a lot of them, so I'll kind of skim through. But you'll see that the buildings are pretty simple by our standards. There were some older, smaller churches that were built by the Europeans back when it was a British colony and from the Dutch and Germans before that. And, you know, they're simple, but they take a lot of pride in it. But it kind of shows that the church is the people and not the buildings. Yeah, that one, the church there is actually smaller than the parsonage on the same lot. And we got there, one of the main people in the congregation knew that we were coming, and they set out lunch for us. And it was the first time in days that we had seen any forks. We'd been eating a lot of food with spoons and knives, but, you know, we learned that you don't need forks for much. You can do a lot with spoons. But they had them out for us, and well, the guy realized that we were from America. He thought we were German. So we weren't sure if they set out the forks for the Germans. And so we kind of joked that if we want to use forks, we have to tell people that we're German. Again, lots of small, simple churches. A lot of these churches have some sort of artwork on the walls, and some of it is, well, they're like those holographic pictures that you might see kids having, like ones where from a certain angle it's one view, another angle it's a completely different picture, and that's probably a good way to conserve wall space too.
Yeah.
We also got to visit with it's a farmer of German descent, but he said he was a South African farmer. He did not identify as German. He could speak German, Zulu, and English all just fine. And they use a lot of the same practices we use here. In some ways, they're farther ahead than we are. They have cover crops, no-till, and a number of other practices that have been in place since the early 2000s to really minimize erosion, because they don't get a lot of rain. A lot of their land is irrigated, but when they do get rain, it comes all at once and it just would wash away that soil otherwise. And that planter in the background of that lower picture it's South African built, but it has precision planting meters on it, so just like Jason Vanderscaff would sell in Lake Wilson. So nothing was too wild. But they grow crops all year round on irrigated land. They have white corn, soybeans, black oats as a cover crop, and feeding their cattle, wheat, pumpkins, squash, cattle, hogs, chickens. And this guy has, I think, 14 employees, or more than that, actually.
And of course, the only place we had flies was on the farm.
And they got night watchmen to just keep an eye on things everywhere. And they also select breeds of cattle. Just, I think they had one breed that they chose just because it would kind of hang out together, made it a lot easier to keep track of them.
Brahmas, the basic cattle that are where this farmer had. He had 60 head of Brahma cows, but in his pasture and in his feedlot, he had Hereford and Angus crossbred Brahma. And I said, you must crossbreed your cows with Angus or Hereford. No, he said, he bought them from a ranch over by Durban where it's cooler. The Hereford and Angus breed can survive there. He says, they would not survive here in the summertime. But because he says he wants to keep the breed pure. So he only uses Brahma bulls on his cows. And he buys 400 feeders, feeds them out like during our winter months here, and in the spring when it warms up, he sells them. And then he just has his own cows in his own pasture land.
Well, that was a common weed over there that the farmers worked with, and I think they could actually use it for cattle feed, too.
Do, yeah.
But we asked what it was because it doesn't look like any weeds we have around here. And it has bright yellow flowers and very green stems, and they call it John Deere weed.
This Friday night that we were there, Pastor Sarah Toddy from Windham and myself gave a lay preacher training class. Started at 6 that evening, and it was 10 o'clock that night when we were done. We asked Pastor Natuko how many would be there. Well, he says, I'm going to tell you, all the way from 20 to 100 could possibly be there. We've got that many lay preachers filling in for us through the Odini circuit. Well, we only had 12 programs printed out, but at the school, disability school, they had a printer and we printed out a lot more. We had 20 showed up that night. And it was good talking back and forth. Natuko, he interpreted for us from the ones that were there, the lay preachers, back and forth. We had very good discussion, very good dialogue between the them and us anyhow. And the following morning, two of the lay preachers that were there asked Natuko if they could preach on Sunday morning. They said the dialogue between the two of us and working together, they really wanted to preach that following Sunday. And it was very well received. This is the second time now that they've done this, and it's helping out both us and them in their trying to fill the pulpit every Sunday.
Well, we won't have the video working today, but we went to the induction of one of the pastors there, and that church that it would have been in was an old European church, but the roof had collapsed since the last trip they made out there, so we were in this long, skinny school chapel, I guess. Yeah. And it's too bad the video doesn't work, but their services are much, much, much more lively than we have here. You go to the front with your offering and you sing and dance the whole way, and you sing and dance returning back. And a lot of the songs you could figure out what the English translation was, and after a while you kind of picked up on, you know, Ujesu, Christu, Jesus Christ. You could figure out a lot of what they were talking about, but they had a lot more energy than you would find in at least this part of the country, maybe the South, I'm not sure. But.
Some of the songs they sang were familiar hymns to us, and that was a really cool experience that they were singing it in Zulu, we were singing in English, just a meaning that we're all the same and we're all serving the same God. So that was, I thought that was really cool.
And you'll notice a lot of the garments they're wearing and a lot of the things that they have in their church seem very Catholic, actually. And just a little different theology for some of that stuff, but just very, very interesting. The one guy said he was going to cry when Pastor Sarah didn't bring all of her robe and stoles and stuff
she didn't bring along.
Yeah, she didn't want to pack a suitcase full of that stuff, so they managed to find her some that would work. So while we were there, we managed to find enough parts to get Lazarus, the tractor, working again. Really, it was just a battery and a ball for the three-point. But in years past, they came there and from America, and they realized that this tractor wasn't working, and you know, no one there had the knowledge or experience to make it work, and so a couple farmers from around here stayed behind a couple days. They got all the parts, they got it working, and they kind of, you know, introduced the guys to the place to get parts. And the people there gave it the name Lazarus because it was brought back from the dead. So I got to be the one to drive Lazarus around. They also had a hammer mill there that probably hadn't been used at all since it was a mission station 20-some years ago.
Yeah.
And with a little bit of work and, you know, we had to get a new, or we had to fix our
PTO shaft before it was bent.
But we got that thing running, and they're hoping to make flour out of it. And Bonnie also got to help out with the kitchen staff there.
We made pumpkin bars and banana bread. And the night of our farewell party, we served these bars. Well, the pumpkin bars had cream cheese frosting on them, and they were gone in an instant. Because usually, I mean, the only dessert we ever had was a graham cracker crust with fruit cocktail, and it's a vanilla custard, and then some more crumbs on the top. And that was the dessert wherever you went. So this was a little different than that, and they enjoyed it.
They're also working on a pork project there. I think on the last trip Minnesotans went on there, they suggested they use one of the old buildings there as a hog barn, and oh, we didn't hear anything back about that, and we got there and we discovered that, yes, they were using that, and so it was sort of a pleasant surprise. The young man that is taking care of the hogs has no ag background. I think he was going to school for something else, but yeah, bills were high, and he needed a job, and he said he loved pigs, so he took it. And so he's, well, I'm trying to send him some information there to, you know, hopefully help him out a little bit, but a lot of our practices here just don't translate there. It's much more rudimentary than we have here. You can see a guy in the upper right corner herding pigs down the street, so they are very tame. Oh, well, they've got a building project going on near where we were staying. I think it was originally a thing between the, I think it was the King of the Zulu.
King and Queen.
King and Queen of the Zulu. They were going to build a big cultural project somewhere, and then there were disagreements, and well, then the church said, hey, we've got this unused land here. Let's see if it'll work there. So they, yeah, built a couple little living units. It's for guests to come
guest
stay.
Guest housing.
Well, you can see that we made some friends while we were there. And believe it or not, a lot of the names I learned to pronounce, and they're a little different than we have around here.
This is our last morning there. We had, there's a chapel or a church on our, was on our compound, and Natutuko was determined to do the service. And it was very hard for all of us, them and us. We, our last song there was God Be With You Till We Meet Again. And then we came out, they go out of church dancing and singing, and then you get in line, and then as everybody comes out, you shake hands. The last morning it was raining, and we come out, and they said that it was God shedding tears that we were not to leave. And after we were all done saying goodbyes, we looked off to the east sky, and there was this beautiful bright rainbow. So God approved of our partnership over there.
There are a lot of things that didn't make it into the presentation. Well, a lot of the things we tried with that tractor there for tillage were hard to capture. The first weekend we were there, we split up, and well, I think you got to preach at the church you...
Yeah.
We each went to a host family, and Bob got to preach at the church he went to. I got dropped off by myself in a foreign land with, I guess he is a retired principal, and he is also a lay pastor, but his, I think, 6-year-old grandson was staying with him that weekend, so I got to hang out with him, and, well, he knew every line from The Simpsons that he had on the DVR. They were, as far as South Africans go, they were a very well-off family. But, no, that kid was well into American culture, too. And, well, then the next morning I went to church where his grandfather was preaching, and, well, they had to wait for the gate to get unlocked and then shoo the geese away from the front door. And it was a very, very interesting service. I got to speak in front of, it was probably 50 Africans, and give my message to them for a couple minutes, and oh, they were just some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Then after that, 4 o'clock comes around, and I look at the schedule, and I'm supposed to be back there at 4 o'clock, back at the compound with everyone else, and I was forgotten. I was supposed to be picked up, so yeah, Bob and Bonnie were with my driver when I got dropped off, but so it helps to have a working phone when you're overseas, because that way you can call one of the other people with a working phone and figure out what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So when I got back, I was referred to as the prodigal son.
Bob and Bonnie didn't know we had to pick him up, or we certainly would have.
Yeah, none of us newcomers got that memo.
No.
So in the future, and currently we're sending funds over there to supplement pastor salaries, sending money for student uniforms because they need uniforms to go to school there. We're helping support their garden projects, and the church is very involved in the health and wellness, so they're getting money and support there. We're working on ideas to better utilize the facilities they have at that center where we stayed. And they're figuring out new ways to create income both for the church, the pastors, and the locals there. And we're also working on ways to get maybe some South African young adults to come over and be counselors over at Lake Chetek Lutheran Bible Camp. And then if it works out for someone with some farming background or a little experience to go over there for a couple months and work with them for longer than 2 weeks and kind of help them out.
With that's our presentation for this morning. Thank you for being patient and listening. Now continue with our hymn number 68, We Praise Thee, O God, our Redeemer.
Thank you.
We will now continue with our offering and a special offering for the gems. Deacons wish to come forward for the offering. Shall we go to our dear Heavenly Father in a word of prayer? Dear gracious and all-giving God, we are truly thankful for all you give us. For all we have is yours, given to us to use for ourselves and to share with others in need. At times it's hard for us to share. We need to remember that all comes from you, and we need to remember to help those that are poor, disabled, here in this country, and people in other countries who do not have as much as we have or even have anything to eat. Show us to use our talents and gifts to help them to better themselves and to help in our broken world. With corruption in government that does not let the food and medicine get to those in need of it, open their eyes and ears to see and hear their people that need their help. And we ask for peace between nations, that they do not see eye to eye. We pray for the walls that divide them to be broken down, to promote peace, and to help growth and for help to come to their people in need. We pray for the ones that were killed or wounded in that senseless shooting in Las Vegas. Extend your healing hand to those that were wounded, that they may make a full recovery, and to the ones that were killed, to their families, to comfort them in time of their loss, and to help them to see that their senseless loss of their loved ones, that you are still their God and their caretaker of all. We pray for those that will be harvesting in the days and the weeks to come. Give them patience to take the time to get the harvest in. And we ask for favorable weather to get the crops harvested and ask for their safety. We pray for the people that have loss because of floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, hail, and those that have lost because of drought. Be with them, guide them, and give them the strength to see that you are the giver of all. We ask that you be with the sick and the elderly in this congregation, community, and the world. We especially ask that you be with Mary and Vernuller tomorrow, for the doctors and the nurses and the caregivers to be with him, to bring them, to restore him to health and all those that are in need. And we ask that you be with the elderly in the nursing homes and assisted living, to give them a long life and to see that you are still their light of the world to them. We pray for the caregivers in hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living, and other housings for those that are in need. Help them to continue to give the life to those that are living there, that they may be with them in their days to come. We also ask that you be with those in the armed forces serving abroad or at home. Keep them safe wherever they may be, that they may come home safely to be with their loved ones. This we ask through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Continue with our next hymn, 415. We are called to be God's people. Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
We are all to be God's prophets. see.